3.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Metro to develop a preferred alternative package, locally preferred alternative, and draft environmental impact statement for the Southwest Corridor Plan and fund the city share of the local partner agency contribution.
Commissioner Novick.
Colleagues, I'd like to invite Metro Councilor Stacy, Blue Wilkinson from Metro, Art Pierce from KeyBot, and Joe Zender from DPS to the podium. Before we begin with a presentation from Mr. Zender and Mr. Pierce, I want to take this opportunity to make a few acknowledgments. Washington County Commissioner Roy Rogers is unfortunately unable to be here today, but he's kindly written a letter of support that will be read later in the presentation. Metro Councilor Bob Stacy is here, as they noted. Thanks for making time in your schedule to join us today. And thanks to Bureau and Metro staff for their work thus far. Also want to take a moment to thank the community organizations, institutions, and individuals that are present today and have been involved throughout this process. I believe that both PCC and Northwest College of Natural Medicine are here, and we'll have some comments from them later on. And also, of course, Mary Ann Fitzgerald is here, although I understand she's going to be speaking for herself, not for Sweeney, for once. If I missed any organizations involved in this process over the years, thanks for being here today. Joe and Art, please take it away.
Well, good morning, commissioners. I'm Joe Zender, Chief Planner with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and I've been asked to kick this off by providing some context for the decision that you're going to be asked to make today and remind everybody of what we've been doing up to this point. Now, the Southwest Corridor, including Barber Boulevard, was made a priority in Metro's the Regional High Capacity Transit Plan, and so we've been following through on that designation over the years. And the first thing that we did in terms of city planning was to undertake the Barber Concept Plan, which you all looked at a couple of years ago. That project, our ability to do that, was funded by Metro Grant. Now, that Barber Concept Plan was a community-driven project that filled in the blanks that we left when we finished working on the Southwest Community Plan, and in doing it this time, we reached an unprecedented consensus about a vision for how we want Barber to develop. The concept plan identified places to focus development. It identified how to design these places. It considered how to connect those places into the neighborhoods, because the neighborhoods that line Barber are a critical part of what we're trying to create along Barber. It looked at the urban design of those places. It looked at the mix of uses, the size, and the amount of development. The Barber Concept Plan also looked at the economics of how, when and how we expect this development to pencil. And it found that high-capacity transit is critical to achieve what we are actually proposed, what the community consensus was in the Barber Concept Plan. And it also reminded us that with these local benefits, also there's a regional benefit to connecting to the employment centers farther out into the county. We carried the concept plan into the comprehensive plan. The concept plan and the progress along the way with the continued work with Metro and the city and TriMet has been brought to the Planning and Sustainability Commission twice. The Plan and Sustainability Commission reviewed what's called the Purpose and Need Statement, so the framing statement for this work that we're doing, and in doing that, brought it back to the Barber Concept Plan. So that link is solidly tied to the project. We all need to stay involved to ensure that it follows through on the promise or sort of the priority set in the Barber Concept Plan, but that's the context for what you're looking at today, and this is the next step.
Council, Art Pierce, Policy and Planning Manager for the Bureau of Transportation. Just add a couple notes, Joe. You did a great job. One of the important pieces that, if you recall, when Southwest Corridor came previously to Council, was talking about the shared investment strategy. So this is a focusing of energy regionally and within the City of Portland and other local partners around creating some great places, around really emphasizing some key corridors. And it's more than just a high-capacity transit project. So it also includes tying in multimodal access projects, so sidewalk improvements, better bike improvements to connect people who currently don't have very good connections to the Barber Corridor and connecting into the high-capacity transit facilities themselves that we're working on collectively with TriMet and Metro. It's also really, really important in reaffirming and investing in some of these key places, such as the Naturopathic College and PCC Sylvania campus. So those are key places that these investments and the overall strategy can really help to strengthen and affirm. So I encourage you to support this today, and we're here to answer any questions.
Counselor.
Yeah.
Before I move on to what I just add a few points. And as you've heard, Southwest Corridor plan will introduce a fast, reliable, high-capacity transit option connecting jobs and housing throughout the region while strengthening pedestrian and bicycle connectivity to key places in the neighborhood across the neighborhoods across the corridor. The Southwest Corridor plan is advancing in two phases. The first phase of the plan is already complete and resulted in the creation of the Southwest Corridor Plan and Shared Investment Strategy, which Council endorsed in 2013. During the second phase of the Southwest Corridor planning process, Metro will refine the project and strategies identified in phase one. In FY14-15, this council adopted a budget that set aside one-time general fund special appropriation for the first year of the Southwest Corridor draft environmental impact statement. This IGA represents the transfer of funds already approved last budget cycle, and documents work to be completed by Metro and project partners to narrow the high-capacity transit options, identify a preferred alternative, and create a subset of road and active transportation projects to be studied jointly in a draft environmental impact statement. Previously, the path forward would have had project partners do a draft environmental impact statement before resolving some rather large issues. Councillor Stacey will speak to the shift to a preferred alternative and its components in a moment and talk about why this shift will make a process we think much more efficient than the process we were previously contemplating. Speaking of project partners, as I mentioned previously, Washington County Commissioner Roy Rogers has offered a letter of support, which I'd like to read into the record. Dear Mayor Hales and members of the Portland City Council, I regret that I am unable to attend today's City Council meeting due to personal business that I must attend to. My purpose in attending was to convey Washington County's support for the Southwest Corridor Plan and our intentions of adopting an IGA similar in scope and scale as the one you're considering today. The Southwest Corridor Plan is an important multimodal regional effort. The high-capacity transit project will address the need for more frequent, faster, and reliable transit service and other transportation needs in the corridor and region-wide. The multimodal projects in the preferred package for the Southwest Corridor will improve access to the transit station areas and within the corridor for all modes. Washington County is also committed to partnering with other agencies and jurisdictions to leverage funds for multimodal projects within the corridor. The Southwest Corridor Plan is essential for resolving the traffic problems within the corridor. Washington County is in full support of the efforts of the Southwest Corridor Plan. Councillor Stacey.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Mayor, council members, I'm glad to be back before you again to give you a progress report and to explain from the perspective of the steering committee, on which I serve as co-chair with Councillor Craig Dirksen, along with Commissioner Novick and Commissioner Rogers, that change in the work program that the IGA will contribute toward. As a senior partner in this enterprise, along with TriMet, Washington County, and the region as a whole, and ODOT, we want to make sure that you understand that we're trying to increase the efficiency and cost effectiveness of a decision-making process which we thought would be ripe for entering a draft environmental impact statement at this point, but which would be more cost-effective if we refined the remaining choices, which are pretty big. There are options for tunneling, for surface alignment. There are options for splitting between Tigard and Tualatin service, or having a single line that continues down to Tualatin. There are station location options. We have a number of vibrant and important locations in Southwest Portland. They don't make a straight line. And so we have to be very thoughtful in a mixture of technical information analysis and policy decisions that have to be ventilated with the public, sharing that technical information, whether we're in an environmental impact statement or focusing on a locally preferred alternative before we enter that environmental impact statement. But the DEIS process under federal law and regulations is probably the most costly way to make those kinds of narrowing decisions and to achieve community consensus. So those are the practical considerations. Can we have a high-quality public engagement and interaction with the communities, including the communities of Southwest Portland, that are engaged in this process, make decisions which are going to be laden with community design objectives as well as transit efficiency? And then can we have a locally preferred alternative, a location for those stations and that alignment and that mode before we enter the draft environmental impact statement? There's also another very practical consideration. Two of our partners in this regional enterprise, the cities of Tigard and Tualatin, have had citywide votes that, in the judgment of the city councils of those communities, require them to obtain voter approval before making further investment beyond this study phase in a high-capacity transit system. Knowing and being able to present to voters, as well as all community members, what that option is, where it will be located, how it would function, would be very important in any kind of dialogue and any kind of public election to decide whether to proceed with such a project. A draft environmental impact statement is a pretty obscure thing to take to voters. A proposed project is clearer, and I think those members of the steering committee are very intent upon being able to talk in real terms about the proposed decision in all its parts. So for that reason, on the same schedule, with the same monetary outlay by the City of Portland, we propose to deliver the draft environmental impact statement on the date required with an LPA and just move the locally preferred alternative to the front end of that EIS. It's not unusual. It's unusual in our practice in high-capacity transit corridor decision-making in this region, but many other regions have used it for high-capacity transit decisions and across the country for other federal investment or federal decision-making that require an EIS. Be happy to answer any questions, but I think Lou and your staff will do a better job of giving you those answers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lou, would you like to elaborate on the work plan?
I am going to try not to be repetitive with what we've already heard from these gentlemen next to me, so I will do my best to really focus on the areas that I don't think that you've heard yet, and also get some images in your minds in terms of what we're looking at. So I want to talk a little bit about how we are approaching the next year and a half in terms of a work plan, when we expect milestone decisions, and also get throughout the reasons why we're looking at the Southwest Corridor and how we invest in the Southwest Corridor. So with that, I wanted to just remind us, as we heard from Joe and Art and Councillor Stacey and Commissioner Novick, we are really starting with the local community visions, and that's why we're looking at thinking about how we invest in transportation in concert with not just the Barber Concept Plan, but also the Linking Tualatin Plan, the Tigard High Capacity Land Use Plan, the Sherwood Land Use Plan. So each of the communities in the Southwest Corridor did a land use plan, and that is the foundation of what we're doing. And again, there are a lot of reasons why we started looking at the Southwest Corridor. Some of the opportunities and challenges in this area, it's an area with a lot of travel demand, significant anticipated increased growth in jobs and housing. There already are a lot of jobs and housing in the area, and there's a real lack of safe infrastructure, along with a lack of transit opportunities in the Southwest Corridor. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about the impact of traffic congestion and unreliable travel times in a moment. You heard from my colleagues here about the reasons why we started looking. This corridor was identified as one of the region's top two priorities in 2010 for high-capacity transit investment. The other one is PAL Division. That is also moving along right now at the same time, and we're excited about being able to think about how we address those needs together. So we're looking, as you heard Art describe, we have a shared investment strategy, and we're not just looking at an investment in high-capacity transit. A full suite of transportation investments is going to be needed to address the challenges in the corridor. But there are a couple of really good examples from the potential impact of a high-capacity transit investment that I just wanted to share with you today. What you see up on the screen is kind of it's an example of the unreliability of the transportation system right now in the Southwest Corridor. We have real-time data from 2013 that shows that it takes 14 minutes with no traffic to go from Portland State down to Tualatin. But you can't rely on there not being any traffic. In fact, if you want to be on time 90% of the time to get home to pick up your kids from daycare or from school or get to an interview or get to a dinner date, you need to plan for 58 minutes. And that's a big difference in the amount of time that it takes. When you think about investing in light rail or bus rapid transit that's in a dedicated right-of-way, we're looking at a 30-minute travel time that's always. It's dependable and reliable. And so that's part of the benefit of having high-capacity transit as a transportation choice in the Southwest Corridor. I also just wanted to let you know about the potential performance and return on investment from a broader regional perspective as we think about investing in this corridor. We have initial modeling results that show ridership projections for 2035 for the Southwest Corridor, both for bus rapid transit and light rail transit, and they are very robust. Bus rapid transit being a little bit over 30,000 daily rides, light rail close to 37,000. That's 60% new transit riders, which is a really strong number. That is really, I think, indicative of the lack of choices that there are right now in the Southwest Corridor for how we get around. And just for context, Portland-Milwaukee is projected in 2030 to have about 25,000 daily rides. So this would be a very competitive corridor when we're thinking about how we look for funding, you know, beyond just our region and in the national framework. And there are some numbers up there in terms of current light rail lines ridership for context for you to look at. So we already heard from my colleagues about the progress to date. We have a shared investment strategy. It's more than transportation. Really, it's the kinds of investments we need to make to create the places that people want to live and work in the Southwest Corridor, from Portland to Sherwood, you know, little bits of Beaverton and Lake Oswego. And then I think another important point here is that when we started looking at transportation investments outside of high-capacity transit, we put together everything. We came up with over $3 billion worth of road, bicycle, and pedestrian improvements. What we worked together with our project partners to do was to narrow that down to $500 million that best supports the land use vision, not that high-capacity transit line, but all of the visions for employment and mixed-use areas throughout the corridor. But we didn't take the next step of figuring out how we get those projects on the ground, and that's part of what we're looking at over the next 18 months. So you heard last June the steering committee refined the high-capacity transit further. In the last few months, what we've been doing is working with the steering committee to figure out the best path forward. Councillor Stacey described what that is. We're really aiming for a preferred package in May of 2016, and how we get there is based on some guiding principles. We are aiming to make as many decisions locally as we can, as Councillor Stacey referred, to do it based on the information that our decision makers need to define a project that would then go into a more costly and federal planning process. This is also in alignment with the Federal Transit Authority's guidance to be sure that by the time we bring them a project to partner with them on, we're ready at the local level to move forward with it. So this fits in with the streamlining approach of MAP 21. One of our guiding principles is to activate the shared investment strategy with a focus on places to figure out how to get those road, bike, and pedestrian projects in place over the next 5, 10, 15 years to help community members be able to move around better now and to allow for enhanced engagement and community discussion. Councillor Stacey talked about that. So there are three main elements, and I'm going to get to those a little bit more in a minute. The shared investment strategy projects that aren't part of the high-capacity transit, defining the high-capacity transit package very clearly, and a development strategy that really helps further that land use vision and implement it with strategies and partnerships that are specific to key places in the Southwest Corridor. So we're aiming for really three chunks of decision-making over the next year and a half. In July, what we're aiming for when we think about high-capacity transit, we want to make some of those major alignment choices. How do we directly or indirectly serve Markham Hill, Hillsdale, and Portland Community College, the Sylvania campus? And also figuring out how we make our way through Tigard. We have a lot of little lines on the map going through Tigard, and we can work with the Tigard community to figure out how to narrow that further. So we're trying to make a chunk of decisions in July that are related to those. In December, what we're aiming to do over the fall is really focus on the discussion of what is the best investment in terms of mode to serve the needs of the Southwest Corridor and the region and how these pieces all fit together. Is it light rail? Is it bus rapid transit? How far south does it go? And which alignments do we really want to take into that expensive federal planning process? We'll have a four-month time frame between December and May to have a lot of engagement on what the steering committee will put together into a preferred package that will be recommended to each of the project partners and the region. So I want to spend just a moment talking about engagement. We have heard that we haven't been out there talking enough over the last 6 months. We agree with that. We have done a lot of technical work. We haven't had a chance to go out there and talk about it very much. We're ready to do that now. There are five main activities that we're intending to undertake over the next year and a half. The most important is really the place-based outreach, where we want to be out there at neighborhood meetings, business associations, institutions, stakeholder groups. We want to be out there hearing what people have to say about the local considerations and trade-offs of these major investments. But then we also want to pull those together into community planning forums where we are inviting people from across the corridor to be able to think about how those local choices and trade-offs impact a corridor-wide, region-wide investment. Online engagement will be really important to us because we are more effectively able to reach more people online than we are in meetings. And we are really working to build our relationships with the environmental justice and underrepresented populations in the Southwest Corridor. It's a corridor that is it's different than other parts of the region, but we do have a number of populations that we need to work with effectively so that their voices are heard in that corridor. And then we're also going to be engaging.
Before you move on from that, how are you going to do that? Because that's not likely to be folks who would participate online.
Exactly. We are currently working with different groups, with the community leaders in different groups. For example, the Somali Family Center, and there's a youth farm in Tigard, and we've been out visiting with them to work with them to figure out the best way to engage, because it's been a challenge in this corridor to be able to reach out to those groups. So it's not online, and it's not at our regular community meetings, and we're trying to work with those leaders in the communities to figure out what works for them.
Have you talked with the staff at Markham Elementary?
I will check with our public involvement person and see if we have.
Because that's a built-in community of a lot of different kinds of folks, and that would
idea.
Be a great spot to go for you to go to them.
That's terrific. Thank you. And we'll be working with ID Southwest as well to help them engage their networks. So I want to leave you with some pictures of the places in the Southwest Corridor. I'm not going to read through anything on these, but, you know, we're talking about South Portland, Hillsdale, you know, Portland Community College, Sylvania. That campus is their largest campus. There are a lot of opportunities up there. Barber Boulevard, Tigard Triangle, and the downtown Tigard area are both, you know, how those connect are really important to think about, and how those connect to the Cruise Way employment area. That is an area with a significant number of jobs. And in Tualatin, Bridgeport Village, downtown Tualatin, Durham, all of those areas are really important to be able to better serve with transportation choices. And then when we think about Sherwood and Washington Square, we're not so much thinking about high-capacity transit here, but we're thinking about how do we implement some of those shared investment strategy projects, like improvements to Tualatin and Sherwood Road, enhancing the local transit service. TriMet has been working on the Southwest Service Enhancement Plan, and that's really critical. You cannot get from Tualatin to Sherwood in either direction without going north to Tigard. And so that's a problem for people in those communities who would like to be able to have other choices to move around. So our schedule here is, again, between now and spring 2016, we'll be developing this preferred package. We've reviewed what would be in that preferred package. Towards the end of 2016, early 2017, we're anticipating scoping for a draft environmental impact statement. We'd work through that process. We'd be able to move through that very rapidly because we would have such a well-defined project. And so we're aiming to be complete with all of that by the end of 2017. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what we're doing, how we're doing it, when we anticipate doing it, and just a reminder of why. So with that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Any questions for this panel?
I have a question for, I think it's Councillor Stacey.
That's my name.
There's such a different look. I barely recognize you.
Oh, it comes and goes, okay, Commissioner. Well, the hair, that is.
I can relate to that. Question for you is, where does housing fit in the planning process, particularly around capturing opportunities that are going to come through some decision-making in this planning process? So we're going to have chances to think about where we put affordable housing or family-friendly housing or perhaps steer some city investments and other things. Can you give me, as one of the two champions for housing at Metro, how are we doing in that regard?
Commissioner, I can't give you specifics about current proposals or strategies that have been developed in conjunction with the Southwest Corridor with the Housing Bureau, for example. Joe may be able to shed more light on that, but I can tell you that that's a rising consideration in all our high-capacity transit corridor work. The Steering Committee of Powell Division project, a bus rapid transit proposal that we're working with TriMet, the city, and Gresham to to proceed on another steering committee, which Councillor Novick serves on, has seen remarkable development of strategies to avoid displacement, which is one objective behind investment in affordable housing. The encouragement of economically balanced communities in and around the transit station areas will be another incentive and motivation, I hope, for city and nonprofit investment in the station areas of this corridor. It's a natural match to have workforce housing, to have mixed income communities, and to ensure that every part of the region, particularly parts of the region that have some natural area and other benefits that exceed those of, say, inner southeast Portland, will have opportunities for people of limited means. Same token on Powell Boulevard, part of the other project, I think we have real opportunities for redevelopment that include affordability, which is much more lacking in inner southeast. So I'm very interested in the objective. Metro has limited resources for transit-oriented development, which we can target for affordability as the leap that we want a project to make with our modest investment. And so we should be in a continuing dialogue about that.
And by the way, I was at the rollout the other day of the J District vision, and there was someone from Metro there. And in fact, there's a prime piece of property within the J District that Metro has acquired for a transit-oriented development. It's the furniture store that's on the corner there. And I was delighted to learn that.
We're modestly proud of that, yes.
And I guess the concern that we all share is that as people are making bets about where those stations are going to be or what kind of transit or whatever, a lot of speculation happens in terms of the dirt. And it obviously happened with Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail. It's going to happen here.
Sure.
And at some point, we may be too late to put our marker down. And so thinking about it, you know, holistically around where are we going to do some, you know, around the zoning decisions we make, around the investment decisions, is very important. So I hope we have a chance to continue to think about that and make some choices before things are cemented and we've lost some leverage. That's it's the tutorial Joe gave me, so I'm just repeating it, but is being upstream so we don't lose these opportunities.
Absolutely, and I think that's sound advice to the council in terms of some of the decisions you'll make in your comprehensive plan update, because there's some tools that our region has left on the table that are allowed mm-hmm. under state law, such as incentive-based inclusion in housing development.
We were at a legislative breakfast this morning, and one of the city's top priorities is lifting the preemption. So we hope to have some more tools in our toolkit. So thank you, sir.
The other thing I guess I'd mention is that, you know, we're doing the local work, but we're in a federal process, and the federal New Starts process evaluates projects in part based on what the land use plan, including housing, has done to key to the transit opportunity. And in fact, in this administration, in the Obama administration, those agencies of HUD and EPA and transportation actually put people from the other federal agencies on evaluation panels, which is unheard of. If we think we have silos, take a look at theirs. So they actually have had people from HUD and EPA sitting in on the panels that evaluated projects and scored them. So they not only have this stuff, you know, the words are on the page, but the right people are in the room when they actually adjudicate who gets the money. And I like that. I think it's great.
And, Mayor, you have someone on your staff who's the right person, too.
Yes.
Because I'm reminded that when you had that, there was that sort of brownfield site on Interstate that TriMet owned that later became the site of a housing development that now Reach operates that's next to the IFCC. It was a very complicated plan, but Jillian helped navigate all the partnership relationships to get that done.
Great. Other questions, comments for the panel? Thank you all very much. Councilor, thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
So public testimony on this item, please.
Yes, we have five people signed up.
Okay.
The first three, please come on up, are David J. Schlett, Marilyn Considine, and Keith North.
Good morning.
Morning.
Oops.
Where are we going?
for y'all this morning.
Very well. Thanks. Thanks for coming. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. We're grateful for the opportunity to express support for the Southwest Corridor plan, IGA, between Portland and Metro. My name is David Slyke, President of National College of Natural Medicine in Portland. With me are Marilyn Considine, Director of Public Relations and Communications, and Keith North, who is our Director of Campus Development. Our college has been in Portland for 60 years, and we are growing more rapidly than ever before in our history. Our impact economically in the community is closing in on about $70 million a year. We're regionally and federally accredited, a nonprofit educational institution producing physicians and experts in naturopathic medicine, nutrition, integrated mental health, global health, and very soon we'll be adding undergraduate programs, probably in this year. In addition to those daily programs that draw over 640 students to our campus every day, we have a robust clinical presence with last year alone upwards of 35,000 patient visits to our teaching clinic and facilities. NCNM has an increasingly national reputation in the integrative medicine sector, and we want to stay strong in this work and do our city proud. NCNM's master plan commits us long-term to our location, and that's one of the reasons we're so supportive of this initiative, not only for our growing student population, but which will soon climb to as much as 800, but also for those patients. That growing patient population is such that we've had to, in fact, spread to Beaverton recently. We also have a research institute and community education facility that's growing more customers, more patients, and also, of course, more clients. And it's on our footprint. And we conduct an increasing portfolio of research that involves lots of visits from interprofessional groups. So safe, environmentally savvy, supportable transportation solutions are very much part of our strategic planning and daily operational routine. For example, we provide free bus passes for everybody, our students, staff at the college. We encourage carpools, cycling, walking, running, in my case sometimes. As our very neighborhood-friendly campus footprint knits together within the master plan approved recently, which includes not only new buildings but gardens and the upcoming seasonal whole life market that we're planning and our year-round educational and patient care operations, transportation in and out of the Lair Hill area is a key component. We're very grateful to be part of those conversations and planning which can bring about enduring solutions in our rapidly evolving corner of a city which is nationally known as progressive and trendsetting. I just call on my colleagues to add to those comments, particularly about safety and our experience with Metro and the groups doing this planning. Marilyn?
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for having us today, giving us this opportunity. NCNM has had a keen interest in transportation issues around our college for many, many years, and we have had developed very good relationships with Metro and other agencies, TriMet, PBOT, ODOT, and the Southwest Corridor Plan is we're looking at with a great deal of interest because we are isolated in the small 5-acre section of Portland that we're in. We're actually cut off from Lair Hill, which is our neighborhood. We're don't have direct access to the waterfront and to our associates on OHSU or PSU for that matter. A couple of you have been to our campus and know that it's very difficult to get in and out and find. And it's particularly NATO Parkway is very unsafe. It's a super highway for that matter, right across the street from our school, in addition to being noisy, which comes with traffic. It's very dangerous. There are no stoplights, no way to cross that street except for a bridgeway that most people don't use because the switchbacks extend so far, and they're very hard for handicapped access. I've actually seen a blind person with her seeing eye dog accidentally step into traffic on NATO Parkway without knowing it. The dog got her safely back. So we have a lot of interest in safety and accessibility, not just for our students, not just for our faculty, and not for our staff alone, but also for the nearly 40,000 patient visits that we have coming into our clinic right on campus. We have had a very good working relationship with Metro. As I mentioned, they were just at our school yesterday talking about the options, Barber Boulevard and NATO Parkway, as it affects our college. And we truly appreciate their reaching out to us that way. So I wanted to offer these comments to you, and thank you very much for having us today.
Thank you. Good morning again. My name is Keith Thomas North. I'm the Director of Campus Development and part of the strategic planning team of the college. So I wanted to concur with my colleagues about the future of rapid transit down either Barber or NATO Boulevard to help support our school. Part of what we're planning for future with the enrollment opportunities that we see coming is how do we solve parking? Parking, as we all know, is a commodity with it. We just don't have the luxury of having enough of. So in planning for the future, we understand how this will alleviate a lot of the parking issues that we know will become a problem in the future. I also wanted to lend support today to the Metro and PBOT agencies. I've had the opportunity to sit on several different committees with both PBOT and Metro, and I can speak from my experience with them that they're the right choice in moving this forward. They have some great leadership within those departments and those agencies that I learned a lot from in my times on those committees. So I have a lot of respect for them. In particular, I won't mention Art Pierce's name, but we will. So anyway, I wanted to, again, thank you for letting us appear today, and we fully support rapid transit down the Southwest Corridor. Thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you. This, you know, this long planning process is a big commitment of time on the part of people who do have other responsibilities like the three of you. And we just appreciate you being engaged because whether we like it or not, these projects take years to plan. And these are big, long, complex documents like environmental impact statements that have to be produced in order to satisfy the federal government. So even if we wanted to do it more quickly, you know, we couldn't. So the fact that you're in it for the long run as a community member is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. The last two are Linda Degman and Mary Ann Fitzgerald.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Linda Degman. I'm representing Portland Community College. I'm the director of the bond program for the college district. And I'm here on the behalf of the college to show support for the city funding for the Southwest Corridor plan. Several of us at the college have been very engaged in the process, attending committee meetings, meeting with TriMet and Metro and City of Portland staff on the what's been going on. So we really appreciate all the time and energy that they've put towards this project. You know, as far as looking at this, working with them at the best options to meet the needs of future students and staff with a variety of transportation investments that support future plans for PCC's growth in the future. And as Malou alluded to, this is our largest campus. We serve about 30,000 students annually at this campus, and that's a lot of trips, and a lot of our students do use transportation options to get there. It's difficult currently, in coming from Beaverton out to Sylvania, it can take about a 60 to 80 minute bus ride to get there, which is a long time for somebody to sit on transportation. And so we're hoping that this will help mitigate that somewhat. So we're excited about this, and serving the campus directly would be clearly our best option for us. We're working with the staff continually. We have a meeting set up this afternoon with them. And so we are excited about continuing those dialogues. So thank you for your support of this project, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Lena.
Thanks. Hello, my name is Mary Ann Fitzgerald, and I've spoken several times in support of the City of Portland allocating funds for the Southwest Corridor Project, specifically on October 9th, 2013, and April 8th of 2014. But Sweeney has not taken a position on the intergovernmental agreement because we only received it this weekend along with the other City Council items, and I'm just sharing some preliminary thoughts, but these are my personal thoughts. So when the committee adjourned on June 9th of 2014. It was our understanding that the next phase would be the draft environmental impact statement phase. And on December 8th of 2014, they changed the schedule and said that it will be a new phase called focused refinement before proceeding with the draft environmental impact statement. I looked in the dictionary for the definition of refinement, and it is the process of removing unwanted substances from something or the act or process of making something pure. So my personal main concern is that during this next phase, this focused refinement phase, we will not be able to get enough information to make recommendations from the citizen perspective. We were originally told that that would happen in the draft environmental impact statement. But as recently as January 15th of 2015, 2 weeks ago, I was told that it was not publicly available yet. So I'm really urging you to really take a look at the IGA and the partnership between the City of Portland and Metro and engage the citizens and the interested stakeholders. I mean, not everybody's going to want to delve into the details, but I can name at least 15 people that are ready to. And we need that kind of information well in advance of meetings, well in advance of when decisions are made, so we have time to read them, talk about them, and make our own recommendations. Because neighbors are looking to neighbors to understand what this means as much as they are looking to officials. So with that, I'll just conclude and say that the citizens and the Southwest Neighborhoods Board believes that this project has the potential to provide the people of Portland and Metro with greater access to jobs, education, and services, as you've heard over and over this morning. But the public needs information before the important decisions are made in this focused refinement plan and whatever this locally preferred alternative is. So Southwest Neighborhoods did support this budget year funding, but now that we're just entering the next budget cycle, we'll reevaluate and decide whether to continue support for planning. Thanks.
Thank you.
So you haven't had an opportunity that the Sweeney Transportation Committee or any of the neighborhood groups to look at this proposal and decide whether or not Sweeney or neighborhoods are in support of it?
The IGA?
Yes.
No.
And your concern is that it's proposing to make the preferred alternative decision with inadequate public input?
Right.
Marianne, I'm just looking at the Exhibit A in our packet. And it has a public involvement provision at paragraph 3 under key elements of the process. Is it your concern that that's not robust enough, or you haven't had a chance to make that determination?
I haven't really had a chance to make it, but based on the vagueness of it, my concern is that it will be a lot of fancy documents that have a lot of bullet points, but not the in-depth analysis that you might get in something like a draft environmental impact statement.
So the preferred alternative will ultimately come back to council for further discussion. Is there something in the nature of guidance you want us to give to our partners about the level of public engagement that we expect before it comes back to us?
Yes, and I added a few things that we would like more information about. One of my personal concerns is that they use the term integrated land use and development strategies, but I've been told verbally that it may not include specific station locations. And I don't understand how you could make decisions about projects and about alignments without making decisions about station locations. Mm-hmm. They all tie together. So that's the kind of thing. You know, I was a participant in the Barber Concept Plan, and that had very good public input. But I first learned of the station locations in this phase one or two, whatever it was, at an open house in Tualatin, and I walked in and said, where'd these come from? And they said, well, fill out a comment card. Thank you for your input. So, you know, I think that we need to have a more robust decision about the station locations. We know that there's a ton of pros and cons, and it's not going to be an easy decision, and I appreciate that you'll be making that decision, not the citizens. But we want to be able to advise you from the neighborhood perspective.
Colleagues, I talked with Mary Ann last night, and I committed Councillor Stacey to something that I haven't talked to him about yet, but I'm sure he'll be amenable that at some point, I would hope in the next few weeks, we should sit down with Mary Ann, with appropriate staff, with other advocates, and talk about what the problem involvement process will look like during this next year or so when we're going through this identification of preferred alternative.
Yeah, that sounds like a helpful step.
Actually, Commissioner, I'm not comfortable voting on this today, given this concern and that the neighborhoods were not aware that this was coming. So I wonder if you would be willing to have that conversation between now and next week. We could defer action on it, leave the emergency clause on it, but have that conversation in short order, because I participated in the steering committee for a few months in between the transition between terms, and I was concerned about the level of public engagement, the ability of citizens to affect the steering committee members' choices, because there was pretty limited testimony from citizens at the end of the meeting rather than being an integral part of that steering committee. So I'd want, before we vote, to change the process and to go with this the steering committee developing the locally preferred alternative, I'd like to have a better concept of how the community is going to be engaged, not just informed about what the steering committee is doing.
Well, Commissioner, I mean, the point of this IGA is to transfer money that we've already agreed to transfer to Metro for a process, and I don't think that the shift to from doing a DAS first to doing a locally preferred alternative in and of itself has any impact on the level of public involvement. I suspect that Mary Ann would have the same concerns about public involvement if we were still going down the DAS path. So we do need to address the issue of how much public involvement there will be, but I don't think that by adopting this IGA, we're endorsing a lack of public involvement.
Yeah, I want to second that thought, in that it's how it's done that matters. And I'll, at the risk of geeking out a little bit on you, I spent the last 10 years of my life doing projects in this order, because that's how most metropolitan areas do it. They do the LPA work first, and then they dive into the details of the DEIS process. So, you know, it's different for us, but the question is, can you have a bad or good public involvement process obtains in either case? You can either have to do a good job or a bad job of it. So this conversation about what the public involvement process looks like and how people engage in it and what level of data is available to people who do geek out and want to know a lot, and there are quite a few of them involved in this process, that's really important. But doing the compliance exercise of the DEIS document is not the only way. So I do think this is, you know, a smart way to proceed, you know, in the mechanics of the process. But then how the public involvement process fits into that and what level of information you and other volunteers and, you know, the colleges that have been here today, anyone else, has really important. But frankly, this process is so technical that a lack of detailed data will probably be the least of your worries.
Commissioner Novick, can I just ask a procedural question? This is an emergency item, so it requires 5 votes to pass, I think. So is there... some desire to set this over a week for purposes of having a preliminary conversation, maybe just agreeing on the boundaries of future public involvement, does that adversely impact the project? So that's an important question for me.
Let me ask, Malou, Denver, Teresa, does one of you want to talk about what the practical implications would be?
Councilor
Stacey?
Does a one-week set over with an emergency clause change any of the timelines that you're operating in good faith under?
Mr. Mayor, Commissioner, I don't think that the set over that the Commissioner has proposed would cause any undue effect on the completion of the work. under the IGA, as long as it is 7 to 10 days. I've had my own conversation with Mary Ann Fitzgerald recently. She shared similar concerns, I take it, to those that she shared with Commissioner Novick. I shared those because I join in her concern that we have adequate data early enough for community participants to understand, to communicate to other community folks, and to formulate their own views, and that we need time at the steering committee to learn about alternatives in public, hear testimony, and then come back at a later time to make a decision on that item, whether it's a station, location, or a mode. And that's a commitment that I'm confident the steering committee would make. We should have the conversation that Commissioner Novick has agreed to, and if a further temporary stay of your decision is necessary to ensure that, we don't object.
And let me just be clear of what I'm, one of the things I'm concerned about is that you continue down this road, we then have a hearing on a locally preferred alternative, we get a boatload of people in saying this is not our preferred alternative. We're then told, well, everybody else has agreed to it, City Council, so you have to, too, and that's not a good process. That's not going to get us to where we can move the project forward. So I'd like to leave the emergency clause on and set it over for a week. I want to be really clear that unless the Southwest Neighborhoods folks are comfortable with the proposed forward plan forward, I reserve the right to not support it next
Indeed.
Week either.
Understood.
But I think given how invested Southwest Neighborhoods have been, and given that they are able to act quickly when pressed to do so. And I know that you are all in wanting to do the right thing. It's a project where everybody wants to do the right thing. And I appreciate your leadership of it, Commissioner Novick. I hope you can get to somewhere next week where Mary Ann can come in and tell us, yes, we're comfortable.
Ms. Fitzgerald is already on my schedule, along with other representatives of Sweeney. We could invite Commissioner Novick, or more likely, adjust our calendars to his.
Well, Councilor Stacey, just one other thing. I mean, we were prepared to vote on this today and appreciate the presentation and the good staff work. Mary Ann is often in the position of coming to council with the approach to wanting to get to yes and helping us do the heavy lifting. And I appreciate that. Maybe the extra conversation and creating some framework that gives her the confidence about what that process will look like so that she and like-minded people can be especially constructive is probably helpful to the process. And I hope we could come back next week and move this forward.
Folks in Portland who are following this process and engaged in it, and the institutions that you've already heard from, are the most valuable participants we have right now. And we hope to build that kind of confidence and participation in the suburban communities that are also part of this process. And so shame on us if we can't
maintain
what we have.
This does look mind-numbingly complicated. Is it more complicated, Mayor, than the tree code?
Yes, unfortunately.
All right, well, I was going to
compliment
Mary Ann. I would beg
to differ on that one.
I was going to say that Mary Ann spent many years helping us get to yes on the tree code, so we appreciate that.
Commissioner, having had a recent personal experience with the tree code, I would be appalled if this is more complicated than that.
Thank you, Council.
Right, thank you,
Mary Ann. We'll be back next week.
All right, anyone else want to speak? If not, then I will set this over for continue this for 1 week. We'll take it up then. Okay.